Welcome to Locked On Cardinals. I'm your host, Alex Clancy. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards. It's a tough week for the Cardinals coming up. They have Cleveland coming into town for their last home game of the season. Then they go on the road to the Rams and Seattle to end their season probably with three wins. They may sneak one out against Cleveland, but if Cleveland wants to save any face, they'll come into town and put a whooping on our hometown Arizona Cardinals on Sunday. A couple things I want to talk about today. Locked On Cardinals podcast. Number one, the Cardinals aren't any better this year than they were last year. And just because the offense is better doesn't mean that the counterbalance of that is that the defense is much worse. I have some numbers to back up what I'm trying to say with that. The Cardinals should not draft a wide receiver with their top 10 pick, something that's pretty obvious. And even though Larry Fitzgerald is pretty much in a wheelchair at this point with his age and skill set still being up there, they do not need another wide receiver taking a Hail Mary shot. And the fact that Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb might completely change the landscape from the wide receiver position. I'll talk about that as well. Now you're Locked On Cardinals lead story. I'm Alex Clancy. The Cardinals defense is bad. The Cardinals defense is the worst in the NFL by the numbers. They're giving up over 400 yards a game to opposing defenses. And they've played quarterbacks that aren't all, you know, yard stuffers. They're not all Tom Brady from 5 years ago. They're not all Patrick Mahomes. They're average quarterbacks. And they're giving up all of these numbers. Yes, they've played Russell Wilson. Yes, they played Jared Goff. They've played Lamar Jackson. But they've also played Kyle Allen, Andy Dalton, Daniel Jones. I mean, they're not playing the top tier. Duck Hodges last week. And when it comes to the situation the Arizona Cardinals have on the defensive side of the ball, the side of the ball where you really win in the NFL. Yes, you can score a lot of points in the regular season. But when winter comes and you need to be able to run the ball and play defense, the Arizona Cardinals are eons away from any sort of relevancy pertaining to defensive prowess. And the problem with that is they have two of the top guys in the league wearing red and white at home, Chandler Jones and Patrick Peterson. Now, Patrick Peterson, don't get me started on Patrick Peterson. I'm not going to do a Patrick Peterson bashing session today. But Chandler Jones is top five in defensive player of the year every year, and he doesn't have a lot of help. The new Vance Joseph 3-4 defense doesn't seem to be working with the personnel as currently constructed on the roster. When you have Buda Baker, who's, what, 24, being the elder statesman over the top in the, from the safety position with Jalen and Deontay Thompson being rookies, Buda Baker's the veteran in his third year. You need help. You need help in so many different positions. And the problem with all of the things that the Cardinals are dealing with on the defense is it's not going to get better anytime soon. Unless you can expound upon signing Jordan Hicks, get another high-impact guy with the amount of money that you have. They have upwards of $80 million to spend this offseason. You have to bring in at least one impact guy on the defense and then get the others out of the draft. If the Cardinals don't draft a wide receiver in the first two rounds this year, I'm okay. It seems like with the air raid offense and with Kyler Murray, it could be one of my favorite analogies to use for myriad things, but one of which is this offense from the wide receiver position is the movie Rockstar, where for those that don't know, and I'm sorry if you've heard this before me talking about this on the podcast, it's a Mark Wahlberg movie. It's an awful movie, but Mark Wahlberg is a super fan of this rock band. He is in the front row dressing up like the lead singer every concert. One day, the lead singer of said band hands the microphone to Mark Wahlberg after he hears him singing all the songs as well as he can. Mark Wahlberg takes over as the lead singer of the band. That's pretty much what we're looking at with the Arizona Cardinals offense from the wide receiver position right now. Doesn't matter who the receivers are. As long as they can run the routes and can put their hands together when the ball is coming at them, then they're going to be okay. Yet, would it be nice to have a transcendent talent from the wideout position? Sure. But tell me all of the wide receivers that are, you know, in the upper echelon this year and how much they've won. Julio Jones. I mean, 28-3, I get it. And he had that ridiculous catch on the sideline. Maybe he's not the best example. Odell Beckham. Yeah, they're not winning too much this year. I mean, it's just, it's the wide receiver position is easily replaceable with serviceable guys that can run routes, catch the ball, and get in the end zone. But when it comes to this offseason, in the draft and otherwise, the defense needs to be, it needs to become the anchor like it once was for the Arizona Cardinals franchise when their offenses were awful, but they would always give up 14, 17, 18, 19, 18 points and leave the putrid offense in the game because of how good and how strong the defense was. We are a far cry from that. Should they trade up and draft Chase Young? It depends. Probably not, because the Giants, if they stick it to, will need some sort of defensive help off the edge. And unless the Cardinals give them a lion's share to move up from 5 or 6 to 2, you're looking at an offensive lineman or trading back to draft an offensive lineman and maybe get some more draft capital. Alex Clancy here, Locked On Cardinals. When I don't know what to talk about a specific podcast and it's after, you know, a loss, and I could talk about the Steelers game. I don't want to, because this is all big picture stuff now. You need to focus on what's going to happen next season, what's going to happen 3 seasons from now, and if Kyler Murray is going to be the guy. And for all intents and purposes, he is. He had that one great comeback in week one where I equated it to a freshman in the NCAA tournament for the first time making a run as a, you know, as a Cinderella, or, you know, a 7-seed, 6-seed, make it to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, where they have no idea how big a scope they're a part of. They have no idea how big of a stage they're on. And I don't think Kyler Murray knew what the NFL was really like week one. They were down. They looked like crap. They came back. Kyler Murray had a great game-tying drive, and Tremaine Brock doesn't drop an interception inside the 30-yard line of the Lions, the Cardinals win week one, which actually would have been a detriment to them now. But Kyler Murray didn't really know where he was. He didn't know how many eyes were watching. So he was just going on blind, pure, just unadulterated talent. And the fact that he's known this offense forever, or variations of it. But now that we're getting to the time where, okay, so they have 3 wins, and they haven't won in 6 weeks. And they're playing Cleveland at home on Sunday, who are probably going to blow the doors off. And then they go to the division opponents of the Rams, who are surging, and the Seahawks in Week 17. Probably not going to win a lot more this year. So why are we focusing on getting W's specifically when getting better is more important? And I said this since Week 1. Win-loss record will not be the determining factor of if this season was successful. And I feel like this season, through 7 weeks, was already a success. So this is just kind of riding the coattails through that, hoping to not sustain any severe injuries, hoping to just keep Kyler getting better where he's regressed the last couple weeks, and just see who's going to be on this roster for next season. There's a lot more question marks than answers, and there's a lot more question marks than draft ability for the Cardinals going into the 2020 NFL draft. You can only draft so many guys. You only have so many draft picks. And there are so many holes on this team that you cannot expect one draft will change things. It'll help. Free agency will help. But when I first started this podcast today, and I said the Cardinals are not better than they were last season, even though they're putting up more points, they're 24th in the NFL in offense. It's not like they're top 10. Yes, that's a far cry from scoring 14.1 points per game that they did last season. But it's also a far cry from relevancy. And that's something that, unfortunately, the Cardinals have had their whole body dipped in for pretty much the entirety of the franchise's life. Save, you know, a Super Bowl run in 2008 and a couple years of Bruce Arians. On the other side, I'm going to cut Kyler Murray a break, and I'm going to explain why he is the quarterback that we all hope he will become coming up after the break. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep service that, with the right amount of both sink and bounce, you're going to get a good night's sleep. Get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/lockedNFL and use locked NFL at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. If you can't visit Casper right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Welcome back, Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy here. Bo Brock will be doing the crossover podcast with Locked On Browns coming up tomorrow, and then he and I will most likely be together Thursday and Friday. Follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards if you want to follow Bo for his awful takes. I mean, Bo's really not great. I hope he watches this Instagram live. Bo and I like to jab at each other because I'm right all the time and he's not, and it's a weird relationship where I have to make him feel like it doesn't matter. Follow him at Bob Rack for all of his freezing cold takes. Kyler Murray is going to be fine. Kyler Murray is going to be the quarterback that we all hope he will be. It's just going to take some time. What we talked about early in the season, before the season started, where in preseason you saw, oh man, he started 7 for 8 for 32 yards. Oh man, he's going to be good. Oh, and then the Raiders come into town and Clelin Ferrell comes and just absorbs him with a sack. It's like, oh, you know, maybe it's not going to be that easy. Pump the brakes. Yes, Kyler has his flaws. Yes, Kyler looks like he's scared to take that first blindside hit that gives him whiplash coming around the left side on his blindside. I understand that he doesn't want to take hits. He's not a big guy. He's not Russell Wilson has tree trunks for legs. Russell Wilson is quicker than Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray may be faster, but elusivity and quickness Russell Wilson has in spades over Kyler Murray. Russell Wilson had like 4 game-winning drives his rookie season or something stupid like that. You can't compare the two. Russell Wilson's a Hall of Famer. You can't compare the two. It's unfair. Kyler Murray has shortcomings. He doesn't like to get hit. Okay? He's thrown some really bad interceptions over the last couple weeks. And a lot of this isn't his fault, which I'll discuss in a moment. But Kyler Murray's got a long way to go. And that's okay. The natural progression of things with rookie quarterbacks are usually that you're not going to win a Super Bowl your rookie year. You're not going to have it. You're not going to know everything your rookie season. No quarterbacks do. But there's a lot of positives to take away from this season already. One of which, he throws a mean deep ball. He throws a deep ball that most veteran quarterbacks can't throw. Not length, not distance, but his accuracy down the field is, it's like he hits Albert Pujols home runs. Line drives. Albert Pujols was known for just hitting line drives that went over the fence. You know, your baseball, your hitting coach would always say, stay down, swing through the ball, and don't uppercut, and good things will happen. You'll either hit the ball up the middle, or you'll hit a home, you know, and Albert Pujols was known, notorious, for his rope home runs. That's what Kyler Murray throws. He doesn't get a lot of air under his balls when he throws them down the field. They are just, which yields a smaller margin for error, and he just puts these balls on the number, on the nose. Look, you saw his touchdown throw to David Johnson last Sunday. Right when that ball left Kyler Murray's hands, I'm like, oh, that's an interception. Immediately. Because from the press box, you have this kind of bird's eye view where you can see the safety like trail. I'm like, oh no. Joe Hayden jumped one. Safety is going to jump this one. And if he put any more air under it than he did, it would have been intercepted. But he didn't. He threw this rope to David Johnson in the corner of the end zone. And it was magic. So Kyler Murray has things you can't teach, like Patrick Mahomes. He has things you can't teach, which is great. That's a good thing because it allows for the head coach's job to be a little bit easier. He always knows where he is on the field. And yes, he takes bad sacks. Would you rather him take a bad sack or throw an interception? Because now in the day of just huck it and hope, Kyler Murray just eats it and you lose 10 yards. So I don't know which is better. But I do know that not turning the ball over is usually better. He does take a lot of bad sacks. Like, deep bad. 10-yard loss bad. 15-yard loss bad. But he always knows where he is on the field. Meaning, if he breaks free, if he squirts free, and he sees where the first down marker is, he will run to the first down marker and go down. Going back to my first part where he doesn't like to take hits. Fine. Who cares? Who cares? He's a kid and he's small. Would you rather have that or rather have him go take big hits and get injured? Like, I don't understand why him trying to sustain his longevity through a season is something that's a shortcoming. Like, I don't understand that. I don't understand. It's like the argument where, yeah, this guy got this many yards, but it was in a lot less games, and this guy had more yards because he played more games. Well, being able to play more games in the NBA or NFL or any sort of professional arena, why is that looked at as a bad thing? Why is what Vince Carter is doing right now a bad thing? It's just like, oh, Calvin Johnson had all these receiving yards. He retired because he didn't want to get injured anymore. The guys that can play and sustain injury, it's insane. Sustaining his health by any means necessary is okay. So just because he doesn't like to take hits doesn't mean it's a bad thing. And the final thing right now that you need to be excited about when it comes to Kyler Murray is he's a leader. He's the leader of this team. There have been question marks around who is the leader. Was it a couple of years with Carson Palmer? He wasn't the leader of this team. He was a very serviceable quarterback. Was Larry Fitzgerald the leader? I don't understand why people aren't talking more about that, where Kyler Murray's a damn leader of this squad. He's the leader. And that's something that cannot be overlooked by a guy who started less than 20 games in college, and this is his rookie season, taking over for a bad franchise who's never won anything. He just walked in. He's a natural-born leader, and that will only grow. Alex Clancy, Locked On Cardinals. Coming up, they need to give the ball to David Johnson more. They did for a little bit, and it worked. So why are you not doing it more? Talk about that next. If you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify, quote, Wrapped, to show us your top Locked On podcast for the year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live and at Clancy's Corner, at Bob Rack on Twitter, and we will share and retweet. Welcome back, Locked On Cardinals. Final segment for this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, follow me on Twitter, Clancy's Corner. David Johnson needs to get the ball more. The season is lost regarding playoffs. The season is lost regarding any sort of relevancy. So why not give the ball to the cat that was your lead back until he got injured in 2017? He had 10 touchdowns and almost 1,000 yards on the ground last year, but that just kind of gets overlooked because of how bad the team was and how many garbage yards he got, how many garbage time touchdowns he got. This season before he got injured, he had 150 all-purpose yards in, I think, three straight games. People are so quick to move on. Oh, he's not running hard enough. He was injured. Oh, Kenyon Drake looks faster. Kenyon Drake has had his time to show if he's a lead back, and he's not. He's more explosive. At this point, I've said that I would go on the record for saying I would trade Chase Edmonds. I would trade him because he has the most trade value at this point. Kenyon Drake, if he wants to come back, he's not gonna warrant, you know, $40 million. So he's gonna be probably on a team-friendly deal. And David Johnson's under contract, by which he is untradeable because nobody's gonna want to take that contract on. So why not give David Johnson the ball as much as you can and see exactly what your depth chart will look like going into the offseason? If Kenyon Drake wants to come back, is he gonna be your scat back? And is David Johnson going to be your lead guy? If you are going to focus on drafting offensive linemen or bringing them in the offseason, bringing veteran guys who are actually going to be impact guys on the O-line, that will help your running game. Because let me explain this before I get out of here. The big guys, the downset hike part. Okay, so the center. Hike, cool, so that goes to the quarterback. The five guys that are on the line, they push defenders out of the way to make space for running backs to run. Okay, so you're following me. So we're still on the same page. So when those guys, the big guys up front, the big boys up front, when they aren't good at pushing defenders out of the way, it's making smaller holes for these 6 foot guys to run through holes. When you have a better offensive line, it makes it easier for running backs to play well. This offensive line isn't great. David Johnson will be better with a better offensive line, but why not give him the damn ball for the rest of the season to see what he's made of and find out what your depth chart will look like going into next season? Alex Clancy here. Bo Brock will be doing a crossover episode tomorrow with Locked On Browns. I will check you guys back on Thursday. Locked On Cardinals.